Chapter 5. Starbucks and the Habit of Success. When Willpower Becomes Automatic. 1. The first time Travis Leach saw his father overdose, he was 9 years old. His family had just moved into a small apartment at the end of an alleyway, the latest in a seemingly endless series of relocations that had most recently caused them to abandon their previous home in the middle of the night, throwing everything they owned into black garbage bags after receiving an eviction notice. "Too many people coming and going too late at night," the landlord said. "Too much noise." Sometimes, at his old house, Travis would come home from school and find the rooms neatly cleaned, leftovers meticulously wrapped in the fridge, and packets of hot sauce and ketchup in Tupperware containers. He knew this meant his parents had temporarily abandoned heroin for crank and spent the day in a cleaning frenzy. Those usually ended badly. Travis felt safer when the house was messy and his parents were on the couch, their eyes half-lidded, watching cartoons. There is no chaos at the end of a heroin fog. Travis's father was a gentleman who loved to cook, and except for a stint in the Navy, spent his entire life within a few miles of his parents in Lodi, California. Travis's mother, by the time everyone moved into the alleyway apartment, was in prison for heroin possession and prostitution. His parents were, essentially, functional addicts, and the family maintained a veneer of normalcy. They went camping every summer, and on most Friday nights, attended his sister and brother's softball games. When Travis was 4 years old, he went to Disneyland with his dad and was photographed for the first time in his life by a Disney employee. The family camera had been sold to a pawn shop years before. On the morning of the overdose, Travis and his brother were playing in the living room on top of blankets they laid out on the floor each night for sleeping. Travis's father was getting ready to make pancakes when he stepped into the bathroom. He was carrying the tube sock that contained his needle, spoon, lighter, and cotton swabs. A few moments later, he came out, opened the refrigerator to get the eggs, and crashed to the floor. When the kids ran around the corner, their father was convulsing, his face turning blue. Travis's siblings had seen an overdose before and knew the drill. His brother rolled him onto his side. His sister opened his mouth to make sure he wouldn't choke on his tongue and told Travis to run next door, ask to use the neighbor's phone, and dial 911. "My name is Travis. My dad has passed out and we don't know what happened. He's not breathing," Travis lied to the police operator. Even at 9 years old, he knew why his father was unconscious. He didn't want to say it in front of the neighbor. 3 years earlier, one of his dad's friends had died in their basement after shooting up. When the paramedics had taken the body away, neighbors gawked at Travis and his sister while they held the door open for the gurney. One of the neighbors had a cousin whose son was in his class, and soon, everyone in school had known. After hanging up the phone, Travis walked to the end of the alleyway and waited for the ambulance. His father was treated at the hospital that morning, charged at the police station in the afternoon, and home again by dinner time. He made spaghetti. Travis turned 10 a few weeks later. When Travis was 16, he dropped out of high school. "I was tired of being called a faggot," he said. "Tired of people following me home and throwing things at me. Everything seemed really overwhelming. It was easier to quit and go somewhere else." He moved 2 hours south to Fresno and got a job at a car wash. He was fired for insubordination. He got jobs at McDonald's and Hollywood Video. But when customers were rude, "I wanted ranch dressing, you moron," he would lose control. "Get out of my drive-thru," he shouted at one woman, throwing the chicken nuggets at her car before his manager pulled him inside. Sometimes he'd get so upset that he would start crying in the middle of a shift. He was often late, or he'd take a day off for no reason. In the morning, he would yell at his reflection in the mirror, order himself to be better, to suck it up. But he couldn't get along with people, and he wasn't strong enough to weather the steady drip of criticisms and indignities. When the line at his register would get too long and the manager would shout at him, Travis's hands would start shaking, and he'd feel like he couldn't catch his breath. He wondered if this is what his parents felt like, so defenseless against life when they started using drugs. One day, a regular customer at Hollywood Video who'd gotten to know Travis a little bit suggested he think about working at Starbucks. We're opening a new store on Fort Washington, and I'm going to be an assistant manager, the man said. You should apply. A month later, Travis was a barista on the morning shift. That was 6 years ago. Today, at 25, Travis is the manager of two Starbucks where he oversees 40 employees and is responsible for revenues exceeding $2 million per year.